Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you. I'll be here for the next 3 hours. We've got the interview coming up next. Then we're going to talk about a program that we've never spoken about before, which is the Elder Peas. Great project. And then we'll be talking about Quilts Tavala. It's I've only just heard about. It's a great organisation. We've never interviewed them before, but we'll have them between 2 and 3, so I'll be here up till 3 o'clock. But we've got with us Anchor. Now, we've had Anchor and the CEO there, Heidi, on a number of occasions, and also Lauren, who's the partnership manager. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Alan.
And, of course, one of the reasons you're here, you want to talk about the National Reconciliation Week, which I believe, is it this week or next week, Heidi?
No, it's this week, Alan. It's the 27th of May to the 3rd of June.
Right, so I guess the first thing we should ask you is what the week's all about, particularly why Anchor is involved.
Okay. So just before I answer, I would like to acknowledge land that I'm sitting on today, you know, in my office at Scoresby here. It's Wurundjeri land, and I pay my respects to Elders past, present and emerging. So National Reconciliation Week occurs every year about this time. It follows straight on from Sorry Day. So Sorry Day was on Sunday, and that starts the week off. Sorry Day is really acknowledging the Bringing Them Home report that was handed down to government many years ago now, and basically depicted and reported on the stolen generations. And I think, you know, I was around at the time when that report was released, and it was really very shocking to us all. I don't think that the truth of the policies of assimilation and removal, forced removal of children, were really understood by anyone, let alone myself.
Yep.
So Sorry Day was Sunday, the 26th of May, and then we go into National Reconciliation Week, which is, I've just mentioned, is this week. What is National Reconciliation Week? Well, it's a week where across Australia we recognise the efforts that organisations and individuals go to reconcile with Aboriginal people. And that's really to try and acknowledge the past and move together as one into the future. Why is National Reconciliation Week important to Anchor? Well, number one, we have our own Reconciliation Action Plan. And we're very committed to reconciliation with Aboriginal people. Now, the reason really that we have such a strong commitment is that you know, I don't back away from the fact that Anchor and its previous organisations that made up Anchor were part of some of those government policies that existed in years gone by. And, you know, I always recognise every year that I want to apologise on behalf of Anchor if we've hurt Aboriginal people in the past and, in fact, you know, at the present day. So, look, I think we also know that Aboriginal people are hugely overrepresented in really every single service stream, which means that we really need to understand why that is that Aboriginal people are overrepresented. I mean, we can talk about horrible figures like, you know, that Aboriginal people make up 3% of the population, yet 30% of all people in Australia who are incarcerated are Aboriginal people. Aboriginal people are the most incarcerated race in the whole world, which is absolutely frightening.
In the whole world?
In the whole world, Alan.
True.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there's probably a whole lot of reasons for it, Alan. But I think that because of the brutalisation, really, of colonisation and the ongoing trauma that produces in Aboriginal people, that they feel in their heart, means that they, you know, that they do get caught up in a lot of things like homelessness, you know, use of alcohol and drugs, you know, family violence, all of those sorts of things are far more likely because, you know, they're carrying this trauma that, that really is extremely difficult to get past.
Heidi, do you think as the years roll on and maybe the next generation that they will feel more assimilated?
Well, to be frank, Alan, I don't think assimilation is the goal. I think the goal is that we walk together as two cultures.
Oh, yep, yep.
I think that we as non-Aboriginal people need to really respect Aboriginal culture and celebrate it. And in fact, we do that, of course, yep. in NAIDOC Week in July. But I guess that accepting that Aboriginal people deal with things in a different way to the way that we deal with things. And that those ways and you know, a celebration of culture and attachment to land and attachment to you know, to the past and to the stories of their ancestors is really, really important. Now, that's not the way necessarily that non-Aboriginal people deal with life, but that it's okay for people to deal with things differently. And it's for us to acknowledge those differences and to enable those differences. And really, what we aim at in our Reconciliation Action Plan, in everything that we try and do, is to, I guess, hand the baton over to Aboriginal people to make decisions for themselves. Mm. Actually, we can't make decisions for them and for the way that they want to live their lives. And so, you know, our Reconciliation Action Plan has really been about how can we partner with Aboriginal people, communities and Aboriginal controlled organisations to support them to determine what's right for them.
What's right for them. I've got to take a quick break, Heidi, and we'll be back sure. with more.
What it takes, you can win. Today is your day to begin. Don't give up here, don't you quit. The moment is now, this is it. I know that you can, then you will get to the top of the hill. Part of the fun is the climb. You just gotta make up your mind that today is your day. Today is your day. Everything's going your way. Today, 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 today. When somebody throws sticks and stones, all they can break are your bones. This is as good as it gets. Don't expect more or less. Just go out and give it your best. Because today is your day, and everything's going your way. Today.
talking to Anchor, and we're talking to Heidi, who's the CEO down there, CEO, and also Lauren. It's all very good for us to talk about National Reconciliation Week, but what's Anchor doing about it themselves as an organisation?
Thanks, Alan. Before I answer that, I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands that we're moving on for me. That is the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to all elders past and present, and acknowledge that the land in which we live and work on was never ours. Look, in terms of what Anchor's doing, it's been a brilliant journey that we've been on. Anchor's grown considerably, particularly over the last 6 years, and as we've grown, we've expanded, and as we've expanded, we've also learnt. So what we've been doing throughout our reconciliation journey has been really rewarding and meaningful work. We reflect and we reshape our services and our operations, as well as committing to working with the Aboriginal community organisations, both locally and across the new suburbs that we work across. So last November, we extended our service footprint with a site out in Gippsland.
Oh, whereabouts in Gippsland?
Or we're in Sale. I think we're in, where else, Heidi?
Sale and Bairnsdale.
Sale and Bairnsdale, yeah.
I was down in Sale last week.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Could have popped in. But this is sort of required us to have a bit more of a think about introducing ourselves to the Gunai Kurnai people, who are the traditional custodians out there. We have brilliant relationships with local community service organisations, ACOs and ACHOs, out in our area at the moment. But we are continuing to work with them to make sure that they are very much in charge of their lives, and that we don't influence the way that they do things in any way. We're just here to support them. We'll reflect and reshape our services and operations. And we put a lot of time and effort into engaging staff and educating our own staff about the need for reconciliation and cultural awareness. So throughout this week, we encourage all of our teams to head out and go to different events that are held across all the suburbs that we work on. I know that our foster care team went to, where did they go to? They went to the Maroondah Mullum Market, which was held at Eastlands. And then we also had another team, I think, head out to Knox or over to Cardinia to the council celebration.
Cardinia.
So we're very active in the space, but for us, the celebration is about our ability to continue to learn, I think, Alan.
And is it fair to say that one of the biggest mistakes we ever made was we tried to impose our culture on the Indigenous rather than listen to them? In the early days, we didn't take any notice. Would that be a fair comment?
I think that's a very fair comment to make. Mm. I think it's an exceptionally fair comment to make. I think that we as white peoples have completely overlooked the brilliance that is the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture. And as we continue to learn, both personally, as I continue to learn, and as an organisation, Aboriginal peoples do things with family and community and love as a priority, and quite often we don't. So I think we've got an enormous amount to learn from them.
All right, just take a quick break and we'll be back with more. talking to Heidi and Lauren from Anchor, and we're talking about National Reconciliation Week, which is, we've just heard at the start of this interview, is this week. Heidi, you were saying that, that Indigenous people, and I've heard this before, that they're well overrepresented in incarceration and all that, but also what about in homelessness? And
very
why?
Good that you should, yes, you should ask that, Alan. I'm gonna hand that over to Lauren. We were just talking in the break about that very question, so I'll hand over to her.
That's what they call passing the buck.
Yeah. Oh, look, I suppose the most recent census data in March of 2023 showed us that the number of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Victorians without a home has risen by sort of 42%. It's risen by 42%.
Gee, that's huge.
So by comparison, the national population experienced about a 22% rise in homelessness in that same time period. So it's absolutely ridiculous how fast that's grown. It's created a really urgent need for supporting Aboriginal communities and individuals through targeted housing, health, wellbeing funding, and the homeless sector is where we really see a lot of the effects of colonisation and intergenerational trauma. It demands a lot more attention and funding and focus and advocacy right across the nation, involving a lot of different sectors. At the moment, we have for the past, 7 years now, we've worked alongside council and other community service organisations to deliver the rapid response pilot, which is a really focused team, a focused piece of work, working with rough sleepers across the region. And the most recent bucket of funding that the council has provided us, which is absolutely wonderful, we couldn't do it without it. We've partnered with a local Aboriginal community controlled organisation, or ACCHO, I should say, to deliver both a mainstream service as well as an Aboriginal focused rapid response service for targeting the individuals that are sleeping rough in the region.
Lauren, do we have a reason why? Is it discrimination, do you think, or am I sort of trying to make it too easy?
I think you're trying to make it a bit too easy. If you have the answer to that question, then it's probably highly likely that we could solve it. Look, I think irrespective of the fact that the cost of living is absolutely through the roof at the moment, particularly if you focus on the Yarra Ranges, I think our Coles here charges a hell of a lot more for the staples, bread and fruit and milk and stuff, than some other Coles across the state. So I think the answer to that is that it's too big a problem to sort of strip down into one. But also, Aboriginal services, particularly homelessness services, they're not given enough funding.
There's no funding available.
Funding is just an enormous issue at the moment for Aboriginal controlled organisations as well as mainstream services. So the more support that we can get to deliver our programs, and the more business support, corporate support, community support that we receive to deliver our programs, the better we are able to respond.
Sorry, Heidi. Yep.
I was just going to say, I might chip in there. Yep. You were sort of, you know, if we consider that Aboriginal people are overrepresented in all those areas in welfare, such as incarceration, domestic violence, alcohol and other drug use, mental health issues, those are the drivers of homelessness. So the biggest driver of people becoming homeless is domestic violence. So the biggest group of people by a country mile are women and their children fleeing violence. And
is that the greatest? I didn't realise that. That's the greatest driver in homelessness.
That's the greatest driver of homelessness. And in fact, 2/5 of all Australians in homelessness are children.
Yeah, that's disgraceful.
It is disgraceful. In this country, in this lucky country of ours, it is absolutely disgraceful. So I guess that, you know, that what we know is, unfortunately, Aboriginal people, for all sorts of reasons, often due to poverty, intergenerational trauma, intergenerational family breakdowns, etc., you know, that's the reason that they are overrepresented in lots of these, you know, these issue areas. And I guess that... you know, that also Aboriginal people, I don't think we can ever, you know, get away from the fact that they do not want to ask for help from mainstream or white-facing agencies.
Is that because of distrust, Heidi?
Absolutely. So, you know, you'll hear of so many stories where Aboriginal people have asked for help. And the you know, the reply they get is often, well, I think we need to take your children because you really can't look after them. And, you know, so I think, you know, even seeing the police as helpers, you know, to help them get out of situations, you know, unsafe situations, they're not going to do it.
Well, because very often they were the ones that were sent to take the children away too, weren't they?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I think we can't ever underestimate the distrust of white-facing services. And we know at Anchor that that's really what we are. So, you know we need to try extra specially hard to make sure that Aboriginal people feel safe coming and asking.
And heard.
And heard and safe. Yep.
Got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Stuck on you. Got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needing a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. I guess it's time for me to come on home. Guess I'm on my way. It's so hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM and 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 22 minutes to 1, and we've hit 19 degrees, so we've already hit higher than what we were expecting, so better luck, we might even hit 20 degrees. I'm talking to Heidi and Lauren from Anchor. Heidi, look, you know, I think Anchor do a terrific job, and I've spoken to you about this on a number of occasions, but in this sort of case, where it's such a big thing, do Anchor sort of work with other services as well on the same project?
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll find that all the community service organisations in the state have an active reconciliation plan. But I think it's really important to know that across Australia, over 2,000 businesses actually have reconciliation action plans.
Did
and the sorts of... Yeah, absolutely. Some of the big organisations, the big banks, and their focus is really around business, obviously, but around ensuring that they buy from Aboriginal-controlled suppliers, that they have, you know, sort of opportunities for Aboriginal people, you know, graduates from university, etc., into their companies. So yeah, that you know, and things like Rio Tinto and different, or, you know, they have very strong reconciliation action plans because they really recognise that they need to walk alongside Aboriginal people in this country in order to do business.
That's terrific, isn't it? So somewhere along the line, they've recognised themselves. So do you work with some of those organisations other than, or is it they you do sort of what you do?
Look, each organisation needs to have its own set of commitments, you know, because each organisation has its own sphere of influence.
Yep.
But certainly we take pages out of other organisations' books, absolutely, and we consult with other people. Alan, I did just want to just circle back to something, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
For your listeners, I'm sure your listeners, it could well be on their minds. So last year, I'm reminded that when we came in, we were very excited about the referendum, which was going to be occurring in the October.
Yep.
And we were sort of all, you know, pretty excited. And I think it's really important to know that the theme for this this year's National Reconciliation Week is now more than ever. And that is that, you know, I think that the referendum, you know, did divide the country somewhat. I think that many of us were very excited. But after the result of the referendum, I must say, as a leader and as a thought leader myself, and as someone that does sort of, you know, speak on social media and different platforms.
I've seen you there.
We were a bit lost, Alan.
Yep.
We were lost. Until the CEO of Reconciliation Australia came out, probably a couple of weeks after, because as you remember, there was a week of just of healing and not talking about it because it was such a shock to a lot of people. But then she came out and actually said, now's not the time to turn away from reconciliation. Now is the time to work towards it.
Yep.
Move towards it and lean into it. And I think that that's what this, you know, this year's title, National Reconciliation Week, is all about, is probably a reset for us all, a reset to walk alongside Aboriginal people and for Aboriginal people to perhaps start gaining the trust again to walk besides, you know, mainstream and non-Aboriginal people again. And I think, you know, I think it is like a bit of a big reset. And look, you know, there were lots of things about the referendum that I'm sure that lots of people are perhaps still talking about, and we don't want to forget it as such, but we do want to move to the other side of it, and we do want to support Aboriginal people also to get to the other side of it. And we think the best way to do that is to listen, to believe. To believe truth, to believe what happened, to believe the stories, and to offer our assistance. What can we do? How would you like us to play a part in the future? So I did just want to circle back to that because I'm sure a lot of people kind of, you know, there was different pockets of people. There's obviously pockets of yes and pockets of no. And I think when the result came through, it was curious and people took it in very different ways, and our Aboriginal people really suffered, really suffered, because what it meant was that people who were perhaps on the right side of politics and life, it potentially gave them the license to say what they liked.
Yeah.
And that hurt, really hurt.
I've got to take a quick break, sure. Heidi, and then I come
Thank
back.
Thank you for that.
And I just went, no, that's fine. And then I want to talk about foster care. Now,
yep,
we're not
sure.
necessarily talking
now
about
we're, ready to do
that. We're not necessarily talking about Indigenous. We're talking about foster care, full stop. So yep. I'm always a big believer of that. So let's come back and talk about that in a minute.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
I'm in the phone book.
Deserve to feel safe at home. But for some of us, home is not a safe place. Family violence is a pattern of intimidating and controlling behaviour that makes someone feel scared or unsafe. It is an abuse of power that can take many forms. It doesn't always involve physical abuse. It can happen in many types of family or intimate relationships and at any age or stage of life. No matter what form it takes, family violence is never okay. Helping someone who is experiencing family violence starts with being able to identify the warning signs. If someone you know has withdrawn from social activities, if their partner or family member monitors their movements or checks their phone, or threatens them and puts them down, these might be signs that they are not safe. Many people worry that they will be interfering if they step in, or are scared that they might say the wrong thing. You don't need to be an expert to help someone. Simply listening and offering support can make a real difference. If you suspect someone may be experiencing abuse, visit ask.areyousafeathome.org.au for information about the signs to look out for and ways you can help.
Heidi, you and I have spoken about foster care a number of times, and it's the first interview I ever did, or not necessarily the first interview, but the first interview I did when we spoke about foster care, I just couldn't get my mind around the numbers of people, and I know you're saying that it's going to get worse, you fear it's going to get worse over the next few years. Mm. So, Heidi, I know that Anchor do a lot of work in it, but I guess Could we just have a bit of an update on what's going on with the foster care program, please?
Yeah, look, I think that I think we spoke sort of just at the tail end of COVID, maybe post-COVID. And look, certainly in COVID, a lot of people who volunteer in lots of different realms decided they weren't going to do that anymore. And that was no different with foster carers. So sort of during COVID, we had a lot of foster carers just say, nah, look, I'm for my family's sake, I'm just not going to continue with this.
Yep.
And then, you know, once I think people don't do volunteering, they sort of think, my life's a bit different now, so I don't think I'll, you know, I don't think I'll go back to that. That's right, which is fair enough. So look, I think the status quo in foster care statewide, Australia-wide, and in fact internationally, is that there are not enough families or people that are willing to have children who can't live with their parents living with them. I think it's a very big family decision to make, because I think that when you invite a child into your home who's experienced trauma and, you know, probably is really you know, hurting inside that they can't be with their parents, and often they can be very young and not really understand why they can't be with their parents. It's hard to understand.
Because they want to be, don't they?
Absolutely. They yep. all do. Yep. They absolutely all do. And they pine for their parents. And I think that it takes quite a long time for them to come to an understanding of mum and dad just, or mum or dad or both, just couldn't look after me. It wasn't the right time. They were just not able to. They're not bad people, but they just weren't able to look after me. So I think the status quo in terms of all of that is still the same. I think though, Alan, for me, what I've observed in our foster care program, we've got a steady little drips of people ringing up and inquiring. Nowhere near enough.
Yep.
Nowhere near enough. I still want to put it out there that if you just want to have a conversation about what it takes to be a foster carer, because it is a process, yep. and obviously we need to be really careful that the people that we leave other people's children with to look after are, you know, the absolute best we can all do. So there's a process, but you know, if people just want to ring and have a chat, they absolutely can. You can make an inquiry on www.anchor.org.au. If you go onto our website, you'll also see a phone number. Someone will pick that phone up and they will talk to you and have that first conversation. What we know about people who decide to be foster carers is it takes some years to make that final decision. Yes, it does. On average, it's 8 years. So on average, from the first time someone thinks about it to when they actually do it, is about 8 years. So, you know, it's okay for people to ring and just have a conversation in those early days where it's just occurred to them that maybe this is something in their family that they would like to do. But I got to say that, you know, that what's sort of killing me a bit at the moment is that we don't have enough foster carers for siblings who are little, you know, who are needing to go into a care situation.
But not be split up.
Can be split up, and often they are. Mm. But I think they're going into a situation where they're a rostered staff. So where there's a different face three times a day. And, you know, and these can be little kids, and they're not used to seeing different faces and trusting people and living in somewhere different. So it breaks my heart, really, that we've got little kids like that, you know, that are having to go into what we call residential care because we don't have enough foster carers, and yet they'd be quite suitable for foster care, but we just don't have enough places, we don't have enough homes. And I think the other group that's really tearing my heart out a bit at the moment is kind of those 9-10-year-olds where they've been through so much trauma and now they're starting to, you know, fight back a bit, I think. You know, starting to say, I've had enough. And their behaviour is becoming difficult for foster carers to manage, and they need, what they really need is a break, and we need more people to come into the system to give our absolutely fabulous foster carers that hang in there, I tell you, they hang in there year after year, but give them a break. There's just one, there's one little chap at the moment that I can think of that his foster care has been really committed to him for really his whole life. He's come as a baby, and now things are really getting tough. And, you know, and we need more people around that foster carer, like a bit of a village around that foster carer to raise up this little boy so that, you know, we don't see a bad result. So,
Heidi, one of the other things we just need, or I need you to do, is there's a myth around, or and I know you and I have discussed this before, that for somebody to become a foster carer, they're going to get the child 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But you have opportunities for weekends, and they don't all have to be married couples or anything like that anymore, do they?
No, absolutely. There's a huge amount of flexibility, and I've just given the example where we have a completely dedicated foster carer who just needs breaks, regular breaks, needs to share the responsibility. So that certainly wouldn't be 7 days a week. And yes, absolutely, our doors are open to anyone, to younger people, older people, same-sex couples, heterosexual couples, families with children, families without children. We're absolutely open to talking to everyone, because every child actually needs a slightly different environment. So some kids, I've seen some kids really respond beautifully to, say, a single older woman who's quiet, reserved.
A bit
calm.
Like grandma.
And yet that might not suit the next child. The next child might really want the rough and tumble of having kind of older siblings who, you know, play out in the backyard and they can play with them and all that sort of stuff. So every single child is different to what they need, and it's just that matching and getting the right match. And when you do get the right match, Alan, it's like being in heaven. It really is.
I'll bid this for you too.
Yes.
Heidi, the other quick thing, because we're fast running out of time, but I really wanted to stress foster care, because I just think if anybody's giving any thought to it, get hold of Heidi and her team and have the discussion, because
absolutely,
you know, the children deserve it. It's not their fault they find themselves in the situation they are. Heidi, we're here to talk about Indigenous Week. We've talked about it most of the time, but I just wanted to get on to foster care. Have you, does Anchor have any things coming up in the next couple of days to celebrate Indigenous Week, or is it all past?
No. We're certainly having more social media posts. If you look on our Facebook, look on LinkedIn, and on our website, you'll certainly see some things. And we've got some staff that are going to different events. I believe there's an event actually up in Hillsville that we've got some people planning to go to.
When's that, Heidi? Do you know?
That's on the 5th of June.
Yep.
That's at the Memo.
Oh, yeah, now the hall.
So that's at the Memo Hall, and that's run by, and I stand to be corrected, the Yarra Rangers Council. It's a rather large event, I do believe. I'm not sure if tickets are available. I'm not sure how they're going about that sort of thing. But generally, the Yarra Rangers Council does put on a brilliant show. So if anybody's interested, I'm sure they're not going to be too cranky with us if we suggest you head down there.
I'll be talking to the council in just after 1 o'clock news on another matter, so I'll try and suss them out.
Very good.
Look, I think it's a terrific initiative. My view is it too, is that all along we tried to put the Indigenous in the boxes that we wanted them, and rather than listen to what they wanted to do. And if anybody tried to put me in a box and told me what I was going to do, I wouldn't be happy either. So,
no, good luck with that.
Well, in my case,
well, I think we're all in the same boat, Alan. We all, in our own right, want to be respected. We want to be respected for where we come from, what we believe in. That's a very basic human right.
And I don't want to get controversial here at all, because that's not the sort of show I run. But when we were bringing in, I'm not talking about refugees now, I'm talking about just when we're bringing people in the country, we didn't expect them to assimilate and do exactly what we did. We accepted some of the other cultures. And yet the culture that was here, we just didn't seem to, well, we seemed to think we know better than they did. which is not good. Look, ladies, it's been tremendous with you again. We've got about We've got about half a second. Is there anything you want? Well, Heidi, give us your address again for people to look up about foster care and that.
Yep, www.anchor.org.au.
It's www.anchor.org.au.
We'll see you there.
Great. Look, it's been great having you both along.
Thank you.
I know we've got I know we've got you coming in again later in the year. I'm not too sure what week that is, but I'm sure it'll be great. And we'll also look, I can only say to anybody if they've given any thought to foster care, get hold of Heidi's team, because you know, the little children deserve it. So
I'll
leave you to it, and
I'll see you in a couple of weeks, Alan, I believe.
Well, whenever, I'm just not sure, but whatever it is, it'd be great to see you, Heidi.
Yeah, great to see you too, Alan.
Thanks.
Okay.